morning. I do have quite a bit of reading that I want to try to get through, with it being the Lord's help. And I do have a great interest and a desire this morning in your prayers that the Lord would be pleased with how that we might bring this out. And I want to try to do what God has laid upon our heart. This week I was thinking upon what the Lord had spoken, and you can read there in your own time. I'm just going to paraphrase this. Genesis in the first chapter in the 28th verse, how the Lord was speaking there, and he said that man would go forth and be fruitful and multiply. And when we look there of the story, and we begin to read about how that Adam was created in God's image, and how that woman was created, and how Adam was placed in a deep sleep, and from his side a rib was taken, and he created woman. And that's a beautiful picture, not only when we begin to look at the marriage between a husband and a wife, and how that God instituted that, and how he set that up, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and how he created that. And I believe this morning that's a beautiful thing. But I also believe this morning that that's a beautiful picture of the Lord and his church. And this morning, as we know, that when the Lord Jesus there, that there was a spear that placed his side, and we know there that came forth blood and water. And so there's a beautiful picture in that this morning. And I want to look this morning at the Lord's church. And this morning I want to look at what the characteristics of the Lord's church. I want you to think about that this morning. What are the characteristics of the Lord's church? And so I want you to ponder on that this morning. And so when Adam and the Lord spoke there to Adam and Eve, and he told them that they were to go forth and to be fruitful and to multiply. And when I began to think about that, and when we began to look in the New Testament Scripture, and we began to see how that the church, as it had been set up and organized, the Lord Jesus had set his church up as Brother Luke, and I have tried to preach on this before, but as Brother Luke done a wonderful job during our revival explaining how that I believe the Lord Jesus set his church up on the mountain. I believe there's enough evidence of that, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. And you can reference that in the third chapter of Mark. You can read about how the Lord had prayed, and he had prayed through the night, and then he went up into the mountain to pray. And so this morning, and so there it was, his disciples, and out of them he chose 12 whom he called apostles. And so this morning he instituted his church. He organized his church while he was here on earth. And I realize today that there's a lot of people that say that there's no difference in churches. There's a lot of people today that are looking for an institution, if you will. They're looking for the next big thing. They're looking for something that will appease them. They're looking for something that they can get their children involved in. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. I believe young people need to be involved. I think sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves, and I've got a little backlash on this before. But I don't believe that the children, those people that have been born again, not only are they the church of tomorrow, but I certainly believe they are the church of today. I believe that. I believe they have a part in the Lord's church when they're placed into that body. That's what the Scripture teaches us, that the Lord places them in the body where it's pleasing unto them, where it's pleasing unto Him. So this morning they have a part of that church. They're a part of that body. So this morning when we begin to think about what is the characteristics of the Lord's church, so the Lord has set his church up. Now we can read in the New Testament there in Acts where the Bible talks about how that the church was added unto daily. So I began to think about what the difference is between addition and multiplication. Well, when we think about what it is to be added to, if you think about 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, you begin to grow in number, right? But when you multiply something, it's still multiplied. If we're multiplying by 1, it's still 1. And I began to think about that. So the Lord is still adding to the church, but He's multiplying it by 1. And that's this morning where our thought is that we need to be in one accord with one another, in harmony with one another. Though the church is growing, though the church is prospering, though we are multiplying, there needs to be harmony among the Lord's church. There needs to be harmony in one accord. Though it's multiplying in number, you see, it's still one. It's still one. We're not adding an addition. We are adding to it, okay? But it's not multiply. It's not adding and creating a larger number in that sense. We're multiplying it by one because we are one. And if we multiply by one, we're still just one. No matter how many times you multiply one times one, the number's still one. So this morning, that's kind of what my thought is, the Lord being our help, and I want to try to bring some of that out. What is the characteristics of the Lord's church? I want to go here to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, I want to take this slow, and I want you to understand this morning, and I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So he's laying out what the characteristics of the Lord's church is here as he's talking to the church of Ephesus. Now, I want you to understand this morning, at one time, those would have been characteristics that people would not have wanted to have been associated with. They said, you're telling me that we are to look as low and meek and long-suffering? Those are things that the Lord's church are supposed to look like? Those things are different than what the world looks like, and Paul will get in discussing some of those things and the differences that we are to have of the world. But he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he says here, there is one God. There's one Spirit here. And he says, this God, who is above all and through all, and he says, He's in you. If you'll remember, Brother Mike Collins, during our revival, he says, not only this morning do you get to have Him, but yet He's in you as well. So this morning, that Spirit of God, He dwells within you. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom also the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a mouthful. There's a whole lot in this chapter to unpack. And I'm going to try to, with the Lord's help, to try to get through some of it. So the Apostle Paul here is speaking, and he's telling them that there is one God. This morning, God is never changing. We've described that several times. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And this morning, the same thing, the God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God that Moses, the same God that we read about in the Old Testament that David served, the same God that we read about this morning, that David, through the help of God, choosing that smooth stone, he went out and he went into the brook and he chose five smooth stones and he took a sling and he took down Goliath. That's the same God today that we serve. Very same God. And you say, preacher, this morning, I just don't see the kind of miracles that God done in that time. I've never seen God part the Red Sea. I've never seen God do this or do that. And a lot of times that's limiting to people as far as what they expect. They say, well, I just don't see the things that God does. My friend, God is working every day. God is working overtime in our lives. And yet, a lot of times we're unaware of God working in our life. If you got up this morning and planted your feet on your beside the floor of your bed, and you stood up and you drew breath through your lungs, God has worked in your life. You may not see it, but He has. If you made it safely to church this morning, God has provided you safe passage. If God has watched over your family this morning and protected them and given them the ability to have good health, God's watched over them, and you say, well, preacher, that's not the miracle that I'm looking for. God still works miracles. Did He not allow the sun to rise this morning? He did, didn't He? Did God not allow the moon to set over the sun? He did. That's a miracle in my eyes. I think a lot of times we take those stuff for granted because it happens so normal throughout our day. He still works miracles. The greatest miracle that God works today, in my opinion, is the saving of one soul. Bringing one that is dead to life again. And folks, I think sometimes we can take that for granted. To get to witness God saving a lost soul. How wonderful it is to see somebody that is dead in their sins and trespasses, and God has just brought them to life. He's breathed life into them. They're alive. They're a new creature in Christ. Here they are who was once dead, and now they're alive. God's still working miracles. So here it is. He goes on to say, but in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I want you to understand something this morning. There was a lot of apostolic gifts that were given to them, and you can read about that in the latter part of Mark, of the Gospel of Mark. You can read how they were able to cast out devils. They were able to take drink that they wouldn't be poisoned. You can read how they were able to do all of these things. And my friend, I believe that those gifts died with the apostles. For Paul said that he would show them a more excellent way, which is love. You'll say, what kind of gifts does the church have today? My friend, the church today has power through God. The church today has power through His Word. The church today has power this morning through prayer. This morning, the church has power. my friend, this morning, and I'm thankful for it. I feel so helpless on my own. But God has granted us gifts this morning that I think sometimes we take those things for granted. Gift of prayer. How thankful that we ought to be to have the ability to go to the Creator of the world in a word of prayer and to talk to Him like a friend. That I can talk to the Creator anywhere in the world that I want to. When I get my heart right, that I can communicate with Him. And my friend, that's a gift that God has given us. You know, one of the greatest gifts He left for us is His Word. His Word. I don't have to sit and wonder about what God expects from me. I don't have to sit and wonder what God expects from mankind. I don't have to wonder about what heaven's going to be like. I don't understand it all. I don't know everything and every detail about it, but I want to learn about God. So I have His Word. Isn't that wonderful? How blessed that we are. So He goes on to say, He said He gave some as apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, those two being combined. You think about this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what is your job? Do you have a job that God has given you in the Lord's church? Because I promise you this morning that God has something for you to do in His service. That doesn't mean this morning that you have to stand up and to testify. That doesn't mean this morning that you have to be a Sunday school teacher. That doesn't mean, sometimes that means just building a relationship with somebody that you can talk to them. Do you know that? Sometimes that means getting to know somebody in the congregation, but building a relationship with them. God's given us the ability and ought to give us the desire this morning when we become one this morning that we ought to desire to work for Him. Desire to work for Him. For what? For the advancement of the kingdom of God. And when one lost sinner is saved, it ought to thrill us. Well, I believe it thrills heaven when one lost sinner is saved. I believe it ought to thrill God's people when one lost sinner is saved. I do. Now listen. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now he gives an example here. What purpose is it for? What does edifying mean? That means to build up. Is God in tearing down? Is that what God does? Does God tear down? God doesn't tear down, does He? God builds up on the foundation that He's laid. That's what God does. And as God's people, we are to build upon that foundation. We are to build one another up to edify each other. You know what that means? If Brother Mike Jackson's struggling along, brother, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to help you along, brother. But when I'm struggling along, you know what that means? Brother Mike, I'm struggling. Brother, would you pray for me? I need help. That's what that means. See, the thing is when we become one, no more are we. When me and my wife was married, what God has put together, let no man put asunder, you see. Though we were two, we became one flesh. We are together. We are unified. We are one body together. So when she hurts, I hurt. When she's sick, I'm sick. When she's struggling, I'm struggling. You see? Because she's my wife. And I love her. You see, that's how the Lord's church ought to work. Unified in one body. Working together. It's no more this group or that group or this one or that one. We're unified together in harmony as one body of Christ. you see. See, the world's got it wrong. They want to focus on what I want, what's going to motivate me, what's going to benefit me, what's going to benefit my family, you see. And my desire is, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? What's going to benefit your kingdom, Lord? What is it that's going to benefit your work? What is it that you would want from me, God? You see, that ought to be our desire as God's people. Lord, what is it that you would have? So the characteristics of the Lord's church: a unified body in one accord, edifying one another, building one another up, not tearing down. Because I can tell you right now, God ain't in tearing down. Finding our place in the Lord's service, whatever He would have. Back a few months ago, I taught a couple lessons on Wednesday night service about understanding the church covenant. That when we join the Lord's church, and let me say this morning, that we do not unite with the Lord's church until the Lord has saved us, until we know that we've been born again, that we've got an experience with God, that He has saved our soul. And once we've been born again, then we present ourselves to the church. And once we've presented ourselves to the church, then the church will take in by the authority of the church. You'll be baptized, given all rights and privileges. Now, we enter into this covenant with one another. I don't know how many people's read this covenant, but let me explain to you what a covenant is, if you didn't know. A covenant is an agreement, or this way, it's a promise. I promise that I'm going to uphold this covenant to the best of my ability. I promise that I'm going to do This covenant is based off God's Word, you see. That's what the covenant's based off of. Some people say, well, the church covenant's outdated. Well, it may be, but God's Word never is. The characteristics of the Lord's church. Now, He says, till we all come into the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So my friend, this morning, a lot of times people want to look at how they are doing or whatever the situation may be, and they try to, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but maybe try to compare themselves to other people and their situations. They'll say, well, I compare myself to this one. This one wasn't at church for this, or this one wasn't doing that. And my friend, let me just boil it down to you this morning. The one that we need to compare ourselves to is Jesus Christ. If you want to know who to compare your life to, then compare it to the Lord Jesus. Because listen to what Paul says. He says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Will we ever fully understand the fullness of Jesus? I don't believe I ever will. But He says, measure yourself. So who's the measuring stick applied to? Jesus Christ. You see. So He says that we are to come together in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to be deceived. And my friend, today, there's a lot of people in the world today, they church hop. They say, well, this church didn't got what I need, or I feel like I need to go there and I can get what I want, or whatever. And this morning, my friend, I want you to know, when we as God's people become settled in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and my friend, that's what's important, His doctrine, the church doctrine, this morning, that's what we're based off of this morning. This is not something that some man has just up and come up with. Everything we practice is scriptural. Everything. We can trace it all back through the Lord's Word. And when we approach somebody, when we preach God's Word, I guess you could say our motto or our slogan here, it says, preaching the Word in truth and love. Or here as Paul says, but speaking the truth in love. And my friend, let us always speak the Word of God in love. Let us go to one another in love. Let us help one another. Do you ask me this morning, what is the basis of who we are? I believe the Lord's church needs to be based primarily upon the Lord Jesus. For he says there in Colossians, he says, for, and it says, and he is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So who is this about this morning? You've heard me say it before, it's not about me and it's not about you, but it's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about Him, you see. It's all about exalting His name. It's all about lifting Jesus up. It's all about letting our light shine before a lost and dying world. For Jesus Christ is the light that shines out into a dark world. You see, it's all about Jesus. He's the head. So we are to speak the truth in love. I can tell you this morning, a preacher can get up behind a pulpit and he can preach the truth of God's Word, but if he preaches it in arrogance, he ain't going to reach nobody. But if he'll stand with humility, meekness, lowness, humility of heart, come to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And he'll preach what God lays upon his heart through the Lord, he'll help somebody. He'll help somebody. And church, that's how we work. We speak the truth in love. So he goes on here to say, now listen, he says that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even to Christ. Paul says there was a time that he thought as a child, but he says no longer as a child. He says now he's a man, that we put away childish things. He says, now he's a man. So we are to grow up into whom? Into the Lord Jesus. That we study his word. We apply his word. No more being tossed to and fro with doctrines. No more listening. Listen, if folks want to listen to the TV evangelist, they'll promise you a prosperous life. If you give them this amount of money, they'll cure this in your life, or they'll do this, or just send more money. And bless your heart, that's the most foolish thing. But there's millions of people out in the world that's putting their trust in man instead of putting their confidence in the Lord Jesus. There's a man in Houston, Texas that has a stadium of 50,000 people that never preaches repentance. It's a feel-good kind of way. When the Apostle Paul was there on Mars Hill, you know what he told them? He says that God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. He says he's commanded every man everywhere to repent. He says at one time God winked at their ignorance. But he says now he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. As Paul was leaving Ephesus, he told them, he said, I have never failed not once to tell you to repent and place your faith in the Lord Jesus. So what was it that Paul preached? Repentance and faith. What are we still preaching today? Repentance and faith. You see, the church is the one that has the authority from God, not the preacher. Yes, I've been called of God, but the church is the one that has the authority. The church is the one that's been commissioned to go out into the world. He commissioned her. He told her to go. He told her that he would appoint preachers and pastors and different things, and he's placed them in those bodies where it's pleasing unto him. But he's commissioned the church. Now listen. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into edifying of itself in love. What is Paul saying? He's saying when we are pressed together, that every joint is completely pressed together, that Jesus Christ be in the head. You know what's a beautiful thing? When you see a church that's in perfect harmony working. Perfect harmony. And you say, preacher, there's just no way. There's just too many. There's just... Folks, I'm going to tell you right now. I told you before, God can work miracles. You know what's a wonderful thing? As God called and he chose out 12 ordinary men that were apostles, every one of them different. One of them was a zealot. One of them was a tax collector. Several of them were fishermen. You don't think that those men that were fishermen had a problem with a man that was a tax collector? Here it is, he's fattening his pocket, trying to take and collecting taxes there for Rome as well. You don't think within their heart they said, I can't believe this man has done this. He's turned his back upon the Jews. But yet they was able to work together and to advance the kingdom of God. All of them were different. Every one of them. And God was able to use them. You know why? Because Jesus Christ was the head of them. Now, you know what's interesting about the head? To me, the head has all the senses. You see? The head can feel. The head can see. The head can taste. It can smell. It can do everything. See, my hand can't do that. My finger can't do that. My toes, my legs, though they're still useful to me, they can't do everything the head can do. The brain, it can think, it can do all of those things. It can feel. It's able to see what's coming. Though my hand can't, my eyes can't. That's the reason why Jesus Christ is the head. Not the pastor, not the deacon, but Jesus Christ. He's the head. So my friend, this morning, as the Lord's church, when we begin to realize what the characteristics of the Lord's church are, and we begin to get those in place, placing them in a place where God would have them. And I could go on, and I don't necessarily feel the need to this morning. I don't want to worry you, patience. Listen, what Solomon says here in the third chapter of Songs of Solomon. He says, in this fourth verse, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. She had been looking for the one whom her soul loved. And she says, finally, she went looking upon through the streets of the city. She went looking. And it says, finally, she says, but I found him whom my soul loveth, and I've held him and would not let him go. And my friend, that's the way it is with Jesus. The world this morning wants to pull him away. I was talking to Jessica this morning. There's young mamas and daddies this morning that says, I want my children to be involved in a young person program. I want to take them over here to this church because they're doing things with them. They're involved with them. This morning, I want you to know, they may be involved with them, but listen to me. If they're not teaching them what they need to do to be saved, if they're not teaching them what they need to do when it comes time for them to be lost, and my friend, this morning, I'm thankful for this church. when my little boy become lost, that y'all begin to pray for him. And bless your heart, it wasn't your prayer that saved him, but you was pouring your heart out for him that he might be saved because you knew the condition that he was in. My friend, that's what's important to me. We can still do things and have fun, but I also want him to know and to understand it doesn't just stop when you're saved, you see. That's when the learning begins. When he's saved, now that he's saved and he's told me he's saved, now I want him to start learning God's Word. I want him to surpass Daddy. I want him to become a man when he's wise and he's old and he surpassed me and he knows God's Word. I want him to blow me away with God's Word. I look back and I think about all the wasted years that I've had. Wasted years. If I could go back and redo it, I would, but I cannot. It's too late. All I can do is take the time I've got now, you see. Wasted years. I can't go back and do anything about those wasted years. All I've got's right now. So I want my children to surpass me in God's Word. I want to instruct them. I want to train them up that when they come to a hard time in their life and they say, Daddy, I don't know which way to go. And they, listen, the church has instructed them. They've helped them down through the years. They've built them up. They've edified them. They've prayed for them. And they say, go to God. Go to God's Word. Look at His Word. It's a roadmap to your life. There's times in my life that I don't understand things, but I'm thankful that I can open up God's Word. And when I read that, it says, whom my soul loveth, I look for Him. I couldn't find Him, but when I found Him, I wouldn't let Him go. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me this morning, church. When you hang on to the Lord Jesus, don't let Him go. Don't let Him go. Listen, the world out there will say, boy, Fairview Memorial's old-fashioned. Let them call me old-fashioned. I am old-fashioned. That don't mean that we can't have fun. That don't mean that we can't have a big time and we're fixing to have BBS and we're going to do all these other things. But listen to me. The things of the world, all that stuff's going to perish one day after a while. What we're teaching, edifying each other, helping each other, learning about the Lord Jesus. Don't you want to learn about the one that created you? Don't you want to learn about the one that's promised you heaven? Boy, I do. I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about the one that gave His life. I want to know more about the one that I can look back through the Old Testament and read. I'll be honest with you. If it wasn't for the Old Testament, I don't know how much of the New Testament I could understand. I thank God for the Old Testament. There's a lot of people in today's world, they overlook the Old Testament. Where would we be without the Old Testament? It's precious. Now listen, I'm going to move on. Characteristics of the Lord's church. The day of Pentecost had came, and Peter stood up and began to preach, speaking in tongues. The world today, there's people today, they don't understand what they're doing. But speaking in tongues, they was able to speak in a language they had never spoken in before. That's what that means. The hearers could understand what they were saying. God done that. And as he was preaching, it says that they heard this and they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. I do believe the Lord Jesus commanded baptism. But you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. The thief on the cross is a great example of that. I had somebody say to me one time, well, what do you do with Mark? Well, let's just read Mark. Mark in the 15th chapter, 16th verse, it says, and he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but that he that believeth not shall be damned. The stress of that scripture is, he that believeth not shall be damned. You must repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus with all your heart. You must recognize who he is this morning, what he's done, what he has accomplished. For he gave his life upon a cross there at Calvary. He paid a debt this morning that you could not pay. He instituted his church. He created, he organized it, and he sent it out. I want to go on down here and read, and I'll try not to carry on any longer. But it says in the 45th verse, and it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them, all men and every man had need, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Basically saying those who were being saved were added to the church. Those that were being saved were added to the church. My friend, to become a part of the Lord's church, to me, one of the greatest things beyond salvation will ever happen. I don't think the world today sees very much of an importance in it anymore. But we're talking about the Lord's bride. Paul said that his bride so much that he gave his life's blood for it. You ask me how much I love my bride today? I'd die for that girl in a heartbeat. Without even thinking about it. I'd lay down my life right now without even thinking about it. But God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved his bride so much that he gave his blood for it. Shed his own blood for his church. His bride. Church, I want to tell you right now, we need to respect the Lord's church. It's special to him. We need to act right in the Lord's church. We need to love one another in the Lord's church. We need to edify one another in the Lord's church. And when those are saved and added to the Lord's church, we ought to rejoice in God that he's added another and he's multiplied it. Not just added it, but he's multiplied it. By one. It's still one accord, but he just keeps multiplying. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if that makes any sense or not. I told Jessica, I said, I don't know if that makes any sense. Paul would go on to say that we are no longer to walk as the Gentiles walk, to put away the things that they used to. You have to look at the area and the day and time that Ephesus was organized and set up. What is a church? It's a local, visible body of baptized believers. So this morning, even if this church, even if this building wasn't here anymore, we'd still be a church, wouldn't we? To go out into the world. I am going to read one more scripture and then I'll be done. Brother Strode, if you get us a song, be getting us one ready. I'm going to read one more scripture and then I'll be done. Mark in the 16th chapter. Excuse me. Matthew in the 16th chapter. It says, Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Lord Jesus said, Upon this rock I'll build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter himself. There are folks today that believe that the church was built and founded upon the Apostle Peter. It was not. Jesus Christ set up his church. He organized it. It's his kingdom. But he declared unto them, he says, for the gates of hell should not prevail against it, and the keys of the kingdom was given unto them. My friend, today, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this. Satan will not overcome it. Let me ask you this. Do you know there's churches that go out of existence? There are. There's churches in Virginia that used to be churches, our churches, that's no longer in existence. And you know, at one time, those people used to say, Brother Casey, they probably never believed that would happen to them. And you know what? It did. So church, what we've got is worth hanging on to. Because though it's here now, it doesn't mean that it can't up and leave. You know what I believe makes America great? That was Donald Trump's big slogan, you know. He said, make America great again. You know what will make America great again? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what will make America great. Jesus Christ. I love America. I'm thankful for what it was founded upon. I'm thankful for my heritage. I'm thankful this morning to be a part of the Lord's church. And folks, we ought to be thankful to be a part of the Lord's church. And if we feel like there's something else that we can be doing, there's more that we can be doing, ask God to give you something to do. Ask the Lord to give you a portion, give you a job. You say, well, preacher, there's just no interest anymore. Get people interested. Get people excited. I feel like we can. I'm excited. Satan wants to steal joy. But folks, I'm going to tell you this morning. There was two little old sinners that got saved on the Mona's bench. That's two more souls that Satan ain't going to have. That's two more. And it don't make no difference to me if it was my boy or anybody else's. That's two more that Satan ain't going to get. You tell me what thrills my soul when God saves us. We've got work to do, church. We've got work to do. Let us be busy. Let us be about the Lord's work would be my prayer. If you don't know the Lord, if you've never been saved, why don't you come seek Him this morning till you find Him? Go ahead, Brother Strode.
292, the characteristics of the Lord's church. Everybody stand.